church. The church. This is the first time in the Bible the church is used in this sense. Jesus is defining something brand new. From this point on, it is almost always used in this particular context. And so tonight, if I am going to have a little bit of a long title, it said, Some Things We Need to Know About the Church. Amen. I don't know what else to call it, but just some things we need to know about the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, I'm glad I'm in the church. Amen. I am. Hallelujah. I'm very happy tonight to be part of the church. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. What is the church? Well, it's called many things in the Bible. It's called Assembly of the Saints, Assembly of the Upright, Body of Christ, Branch of God's Planting, Bride of Christ, Church of God, Church of the Living God, Church of the Firstborn, City of the Living God, Congregation of the Saints, Congregation of the Lord's Poor. That's interesting. Dove, Family in Heaven and Earth, Flock of God, Fold of Christ, General Assembly of the Firstborn, Golden Candlestick, God's Building, God's Husbandry, God's Heritage, Habitation of God, Heavenly Jerusalem, Holy City, House of God of Jacob, House of Christ, Household of God, Inheritance, Israel of God, King's Daughter, Lamb's Wife, Lot of God's Inheritance, Mount Zion, Mount of the Lord of Hosts, Mountain of the Lord's House, New Jerusalem, Pillar and Ground of Truth, Place of God's Throne, Pleasant Portion, Sanctuary of God, Sister of Christ, Spiritual House, Spouse of Christ, Strength and Glory of God, Sought Out, A City Not Forsaken, Tabernacle, The Lord's Portion, Temple of God, Temple of the Living God, and Vineyard. That's what the church is. Now I'm just going to take 10 minutes with each one. No, I'm not. But that's what the church is. Amen. It's a lot, isn't it? And all those are just titles of what in the Bible it calls the church. The church, of course, comes from a Greek word, ekklesia. And it means a body of called out people, an assembly of citizens in a self-governing state. Amen. And in the New Testament, it's filled with a spiritual content, so it means a people called out from the world and from sinful things. That's what the church really is. We're called out and called unto. Out of the world unto Christ. Out of sin unto righteousness. So we've been called. Hallelujah. And we've been called out. We have been separated and set aside. That means we have been sanctified. When the Bible talks about being holy, that's what it means. It means you're separated. You're set apart. Amen. And when you live for God, you cannot live like other people. Not if you're going to be a part of the church. Because the church means you're called out. Amen. I said the church means you're called out. And if you don't come out when you're called, then that's not part of the church. Hallelujah. Amen. We are to separate ourselves. Isn't that what the scripture said? Amen. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. So God calls us out. He separates us unto himself for his purpose, and that's what the church is. Amen. The English word church comes from a Greek word meaning kurikos, which means belonging to the Lord. That's a good title, isn't it? Is that all right? Amen. Belonging to the Lord. Praise God. So we are not our own. We are bought with a price. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So the Lord selected us and chose us and set us apart and made us his own. The church is an individual. Each one of us tonight individually is a part of the church. So the Bible addresses the church as individuals. Every one of us here tonight, we're the church. The Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, there are letters written to the seven churches. There are characteristics in those letters that apply to individuals. They apply to your life. They apply to my life as an individual. They also are written to local churches. So the church is a local church. This body right here in Athens, Texas, this is the church in Athens, a local assembly. Amen. So the church is local, and then the church is also universal. Amen. When we speak of the church, we're talking about the entire body of Christ, beginning at the day of Pentecost and ending with the last saint to talk in tongues before the rapture sounds. I don't know who that's going to be. I don't know who the ultimate's going to be, but somewhere there's somebody that's going to be the last person that's going to get the Holy Ghost and be baptized in Jesus' name before the church is raptured out of here. This is the church. Amen. It's good to be a part of the church. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ. The scripture says that the church is a body. A body. In the book of Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 12, said, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." The Bible says we are the body of Christ. The body of Christ. That's who we are. We are His body. Now, of course, your body is made up of a lot of different parts. And there's not a one of them that's not important. Isn't that right? If something goes wrong with one part in your body, you'll know it. You'll feel it. Amen. Brother Robbie tonight is in the hospital. He's got just a little nerve somewhere down on his hip, and he can't walk. It's just a little thing. Shouldn't really even matter, right? Something so small, can't even see it. But it's there. Amen. Brother Lovelady's in the hospital. He's had some fluid on his lungs and in his heart, around his heart, and just little things. But this body, if anything goes wrong with it, you feel it. Amen. And then the local, it's the same way here in the local church. Amen. If somebody here is suffering, everybody here is suffering. Something goes wrong for you, we all feel it. We're the body of Christ. If you're going to be a part of the body of Christ, that's just the way it is. We're all connected. What I do affects you. What you do affects me. There are no lone rangers in the church. You can't just ride off in the sunset, amen, and leave the church behind if you're part of the body. Everything you do affects us, amen. Everything I do affects you. So we're a body tonight. It's the body of Christ. The Bible said every member is in the body, and they're all important. And sometimes we see, it's like your physical body. There, you see the outward appearance. You can't even see your heart tonight, but how many think it's important? You can't see your brain, but really it is important. Amen. You can't see your liver, but you won't live without it. Everything in you is important. There are things in there, I don't even know what you call them, but they're important. Every little blood corpuscle is important. Amen. Your little toe is important. You ever kicked it on something? Woo! You'll find out how important it is. It'll let you know. Amen. Everything about you, it is important, because it's the body, and it's all tied together. Amen. And one part of the body said, "I don't need you." Can you imagine, you know, your ear saying to your eyeball, "I don't need you." Well, yeah, you do. Because ears can't see. That's for eyes to do. And ears can't see. You got to have ears to hear. Everything about your body has a function. And so tonight, don't let the devil make you feel like you're not important, because God put you in the body because He needed you here and He wanted you here, and you have a place and you have a ministry and you have a function, and if you don't do it, something's missing in the body. This body's important. And so the Bible said that we are the body of Christ. Amen. And so each member of this body is important and vital tonight. There's not a part of it that doesn't matter. Amen. The book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 and 23 said, He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So this body, you are the body of Christ. And we think of it this way, and it's important. Since Jesus Christ is a spirit and not on the earth, it's your feet that's going to carry the gospel. Because He has no feet beside yours. He has no voice but your voice. He has no hands but your hands. The body of Christ, that's what we are. So the work of God that's going to be done on the earth in this time, in this day, it's going to be done through the body. And that's our job, isn't it? And we must fulfill that. We have to do that. He's going to love the world through the church. He'll use your heart. Amen. He'll use your mind. He'll use your mouth and your words. He'll use your example. He'll make you His light, because we are the body of Christ. Each one of us here tonight is vital and important because we're part of the church. Amen. We need to know that. Amen. You know, when you can't just say anything you want to say, because it affects the rest of the body. You can't just do what you want to do, because it affects the rest of the body. You can't just run off and hide when you want to run off and hide, because it affects the rest of the body. Amen. And you let the body down when you don't do the things that are yours to do. Is that all right? You need to know that. I need to know that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you say, well, it won't matter if I'm not at church tonight. Nobody will miss me. Oh, yeah, we will. Yeah, we will. Doesn't matter about me. I don't have any part of the church. Well, if you're part of the body, you do. Yeah, you do. Well, I don't really feel like worshiping tonight. Amen. Well, that you're going to affect the body. Is that all right? You know why we have great services? Because people get together and everybody gets into it. Amen. But if everybody doesn't get into it, it's like carrying extra weight. That's right. If one person said, I think I'll just set this one out, we're carrying you, bud. Help us out. Get those hands up. Amen. Get that mind in gear. Get that heart in tune. Amen. Clap those hands. Amen. Move those feet. Get that mouth open. Get those hands up. Amen. Because you affect the body of Christ. We are a body here. Amen. And one affects the other. We are important, each and every member here tonight. You're important and you matter. The church is the bride of Christ. Amen. Well, there's something special and awesome and beautiful about a bride. Amen. If you've ever been around a wedding, that's what matters. The groom participates, but it's just a good thing he's there. He's there because a bride needs somebody. But believe me, the attention is not on the groom. And there's a preacher there. And he only matters if he messes up. As long as he does everything right, people don't ooh and ah and say, oh, what a message you preached. Woo, that was so good. My, you did a great... No, it's not about him either. It's not about the singers. It's not about the musician. It's not about the bridesmaids. not about the maid of honor. It's not about the groomsman or the best man. It's all about the bride. Amen. And the thing about weddings is some women don't understand that it's not just a wedding, it's a marriage. And that's a wonderful day, but that's just one day. And then after that, it's life in tandem. You get in the yoke with the local yokel, and for the rest of the life, your life, you're pulling together or pulling apart one. Amen. But it's a marriage, it's not just a wedding. Amen. But a bride is beautiful, and she has a very special day. And the Bible says that we are the bride of the church, of Christ. And that's awesome that He calls us His bride. We're not just a bride, but we're the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible said that He's coming for a church that doesn't have any wrinkles. Jaron Davis wrote a song some years ago, said, "Don't sit down with your wedding garment on. It could get wrinkled. It could get torn." And He's coming for a bride that's looking for His appearing, and is not just sitting down somewhere getting wrinkles in her dress. He's not coming for a bride that's got that morning's egg and jelly stains on her gown, got a little mustard over and ketchup over in the corner from lunchtime. Amen. Got some grease stains from frying bacon. Oh no, He's not coming for a bride like that. He said He's coming for one that has made herself ready. Now, I've been around a few weddings and I've watched some brides get ready. You know, the groomsman gets here maybe an hour early. But the bride, it's an all-day thing. I'm talking about just getting ready as an all-day. I'm not talking about getting ready ready. That's months. Months and months of all that planning and dreaming and looking for colors and designs and all that. Amen. And then, but I'm talking about just getting ready that day. I had a lady stop by one day, and she wanted to use the church for a wedding. And she wondered how much we charge. And I said, "Well, we really don't charge, but we'd like for you to, since they didn't come here, she just stopped by. I said it'd be great if you could just cover the utilities, since you're not members here." And she got real upset. Said, "You church people, you're always wanting people to get married, and then you want to charge them for everything." And I thought, I didn't tell her, but I should have. I said, "What about the band you're going to hire for your party? Are you going to gripe about paying them? How about the caterer that you're going to charge? That's who you're going to pay to do your food. Are you going to gripe about paying them? You see, but the church is supposed to do everything for free. Everything, and yet we get criticized because we're always asking for money. Where's this magically appear from?" Amen. People all the time, every week, several days a week, phone calls. "Well, Pastor, I'm, such and such. I need this and I need that and I need this and I need that." Amen. And, "Well, what about your church?" "Oh, I don't go to church." "I don't go to church anywhere. And I need church to help me out. Me, 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 me." Amen. And so, it was all about the bride, wasn't it? You ought to be helping me because I'm the one that matters here. Not anybody else. I just told her real plainly. I said, "Look, lady," I said, "this church was built by people's offerings and hard work." So the people that come to this church, they we have to pay for this air conditioned lodge. They don't give that to us. All the upkeep and the maintenance around here, somebody's got to pay for it. I said, it's the congregation of this church that pays for all this. Amen. And you just want to skate in here and just siphon off everything from everybody else. And not take any part. Amen. That's not right. Amen. Well, needless to say, she never called me back. I was very happy. I don't know if she got married or not. Really don't care. Amen. Is that wrong? No, that's not. Amen. That's looking out for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But the church is the bride of Christ. It's the focus of His attention. Amen. I've never been a bride. So I really, you ladies understand this better than men do. You have a little insight that we don't have. Ours is from observation, not from experience. But you really understand this better than I do. But I understand it from observation. And I'm glad to be the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5 and 25, the Bible said, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And gave himself for it. Isn't that what he did? He gave himself for the church. And could I remind you today, sister, that when your husband leaves the house and goes out and works, and all day and on his job, he's literally trading so many hours of his life for you. He really is. He's literally laying down portions and hours of his life that he'll never get back for you and for the family. And so we need to appreciate the kind of men that do that, because there are some men that don't. And so we need to appreciate that, those that literally are laying down their lives for their family every day. They're out there doing something to help put food on the table and keep a roof over the head and keep gas in the tank. Amen. That's a tough job these days. Revelation 21:9 said, And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, "Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." That's the church. Hallelujah. You talk about a beautiful sight when you see the church all arrayed in white. Glorious. It's going to be a marvelous thing when we see the church of the living God. So the church is a bride. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the church is it's a new man. Everybody say a new man. Now this is, we're using the word man here generically. Amen. We could say a new creature. The Bible does say that, doesn't it? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. And then Ephesians 2 and 15 talks about having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make of himself of twain one new man. One new man. Amen. So making peace. The Bible talks about put on the new man. So we are a new man, a new creature in Christ Jesus. You see, the old man had some problems. One problem he had was a distance problem. That is, we were far off. The Bible said, "Ye who sometimes were far," everybody say far off, "were made nigh by the blood of Christ." You remember when you were far off from God? Amen. Far off. That's where we were. We were distant. We were out there. Amen. At least we thought we were. Really, you're just a prayer away. You were just a prayer of repentance. That's how close you were to God. But you didn't know that. You felt so far. Sin makes us feel so distant so estranged from God. But he just with a prayer, he can remedy. Just with repentance, he can clear our conscience, cleanse our sin, amen, and put us in close proximity to him. The Bible said that we were made nigh how? By the blood of Christ. The only way you can get close to God is through the blood. You can't approach God without the blood. You remember in the Passover, they said you apply the blood to the doorpost of the house and the death angel would pass over. But if the blood, where the blood was not applied, the firstborn died. I've always wondered if maybe there were some Hebrews that didn't heed that. If there were some people that said, I don't think I'm going to do that. I just don't think that's necessary. I don't really want to get my hands and my door dirty. Amen. I don't know if that happened, but I do know that there were Egyptians that didn't do it, and the firstborn died. So but the Bible said we're made nigh by the blood. It cost something for you to have fellowship with God. Let me say that again. It cost something for you to have fellowship and access to God. Amen. You don't just stroll boldly into his presence with arrogance and sinfulness, but you draw nigh by the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's important then. We were distant from God, but now we're close to God. We had a disunion problem. Amen. You know, I've seen folks that really had a hard time getting along with people before they met the Lord. There are some people that are, well, inside they're like a washing machine. They got an agitator, you know. They just like to stir things up. You ever been around anybody like that? They love to stir things up all the time. They just love to live in turmoil. They like it. If the things are going good, they can't stand it. They got to stir things up. Amen. And the Bible said that he is our peace, and he's made us one. You see, in the church, and this was in the early church, the big problem was between Gentiles and Jews. Jews hated Gentiles. Gentiles didn't want anything to do with Jews, and that was the world. And it's our world today, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It still is. Amen. Praise the Lord. What's that little children's song we sing? Jesus loves the little children. All the little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white. Mix them up and watch them fight. There's still a lot of trouble in the world. There's a lot of strife in the world. But he said he came to make the both one. He tore down the middle wall of partition, and he made not Jew or Gentile, but we're just one. Amen. I appreciate that God takes care of racial prejudice, amen, and all other kinds of prejudice. Amen. We shouldn't have any kind of prejudice in the church, because we're all one. Amen. There's not going to be a heaven for white people and black people and brown people and yellow people and red people. It's going to be one heaven. Amen. Just one. Praise the Lord. So we got to get along here so we can get along up there. All right? Amen. There's not going to be any divisions in heaven. He put us together. He made us what? One. One. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the Lord, he made the church one. He took care of the union, made us one. He took care of division. The Bible said he broke down the middle wall of partition between us. Whatever separated us from God, he took care of that. Whatever separates us one from another, he'll take care of that. There shouldn't be any divisions in the church. The Bible said God hates division in the church. He hates schism or division in the church. People that bring division to the church, you got a problem with God. Amen. I said, you got a problem with God, and God's got a problem with you. He don't like people that bring division to the church. Praise the Lord. The church is one. Amen. We don't need, there shouldn't be any cliques in the church. I didn't like that word. Amen. As they use it, you know what a clique is, right? That's when you have little groups, and you know this little group, and you can't join our group because we're full over here. There's three of us. Amen. You can't join that group because you're too something or other, not something enough to join that group. So, but that's not the way the church is supposed to be. Amen. And God forbid that it should be, but it is that way sometimes. We got to be careful to keep that out. That's right. Amen. There don't need to be any divisions in the church. He made us one. One church. One church. If you're poor, you should feel at home in the church. If you're rich, poor people shouldn't resent rich people. Rich people shouldn't hate poor people. Poor people shouldn't want what rich people have. Huh? We always hear the other side of that, right? Amen. But could we let somebody that was wealthy feel comfortable here? Could we make them feel welcome here? Or would they always feel like we're after them for something? Amen. That's a good thought, isn't it? Yeah, that's a good thought. Amen. Praise the Lord. And on the other hand, we should never look down on anybody else. Ever. No matter. Amen. No matter where they come from. Amen. No matter how they're dressed. At first, give them some time. I said, give them some time. Well, Brother Grissom, they already been in the church a year or two. Well, give them some more time. I think they ought to be straightened out by now. Well, that's your thinking. That's not God's. So you keep it to yourself. And you let God keep working on it. Okay? Hello? Okay? Amen. I've known people that I've preached to for years and years and years and years and some more years. And all of a sudden the light came on. Amen. Some people get it a little bit slower than other folks do. Amen. And they really don't need you to come in and run their life for them. Amen. It's really between them and God. That's right. Brother Grissom, you sure are preaching good. That's good stuff right there. Man, I believe folks could be saved if they'll listen to that. Amen. Praise the Lord. They're going to hear the truth. Amen. And if the Holy Ghost can't tell them, I don't believe you can any better. Hello? I don't think you can do any better job than God can. And I really don't think he needs your help. He's already got mine. Amen. All right. So there shouldn't be any division in the church. One. We're all one. Amen. Praise the Lord. And there doesn't need to be a distinction in the church. I don't believe God's ever pleased with an entitlement mentality that you owe me because. You know who I am? These are things I've heard in my lifetime. You know how long I've been here? Well, does it matter? In one way it does, yes, and we honor you. But I'm just saying, there doesn't need to be a lot of distinctions in the church. Amen. If I've been in the church, and I've been around now for 45 years, amen, and in a few days I'll have my 45th spiritual birthday. Praise the Lord. And that's wonderful. That's great. I'm excited about that. That's tremendous. But that doesn't entitle me to anything. Matter of fact, that obligates me. Amen. Because I'm 45 years old and Holy Ghost, I need to be mature by now. Amen. Not that I'm not perfect, and I'm never going to be till I get raptured. But I definitely need to be better. How about you? Amen. We need to make progress every day. do the very best we can. So distinction, we don't need to put separations in the church. Amen. The Bible said of twain, or two, he's made one new man. There's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. And that's what we're supposed to be. Amen. Not supposed to be divisions. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. The church ought to be one. Amen. Now, there are some things that some people feel comfortable with in a church. For instance, it's a little bit hard to worship in a church if you don't understand the language they're speaking. So if you don't know English, it would be difficult to, not impossible, but it'd be difficult to be in an English-speaking church if you didn't speak English. You would enjoy the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, but you wouldn't be fed by the Word. So you would want to gather with people that spoke the same language that you speak. Now, if there's somebody that is learning a language and they want to worship here, even if they don't speak it perfectly, they're welcome. I don't care. They're just as welcome here as anybody else. Amen. Isn't that right? So it's not, we don't need any rules and regulations that said, well, you know, if you speak Spanish, you have to go to the Spanish-speaking church. Oh, no. You're welcome here too. Amen. Just like English-speaking church, people are welcome there. We're not putting a division here. It's an option. It's an option. But you don't have to. You're welcome here. Don't care what language you speak, or your culture is, or your racial background. Amen. Everybody's welcome in this church, the local church. Amen. As well as the universal church. But yes, there are divisions because of language. There are people that, and we try to do that so we can minister to more people. But that's not a division in the church, is it? Amen. The church should still be the same. And if we make it a division, then we're doing wrong. There shouldn't be any division in the church. We need to have one spirit, one mind, one accord. Unity in the church. That's our job. Amen. And that's what we're supposed to be. So this new man is a man of peace. Hallelujah. I love being peaceful, don't you? The Bible said we have the peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A new man's a peaceful man. A peaceful man. The new man is a reconciled man. The word means to change one person toward another. People that were in conflict now have peace. Amen. And that's what the new man is. We had a conflict with God. God had a conflict with us. But Calvary solved the problem. The blood washed away our sin. Amen. It removed the middle wall of partition. You see, in the old Jewish temple, they had the furthest away from the altar was the court of the Gentiles. You couldn't get any further away than that. The first court was the court of the Gentiles. It was in the nosebleed section. And then after that was the court of the women. And then after that was the court of the men. So the men had first priority. They could get closer to the altar than the women could. And the women could get closer than the Gentiles could. And if you were diseased, you couldn't come at all. Amen. Aren't you glad the Lord took care of all this? And He removed all those things? And He reconciled us? Amen. And now you don't even have to stop at the altar. You go directly to the throne. Praise the Lord. You walk right into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's greater than it's ever been. We are reconciled to God. That's something you need to know about the church. Amen. This new man is a family man. Amen. The Bible said, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You know why I'm a family man? Because I've been baptized in Jesus' name. Now my name is Johnny Darrell Grissom Jesus. Hallelujah. It's that Jesus part that makes me a part of the family of God, the family of heaven. Amen. That wrote my name on the roll. That's going to get me into heaven one of these days. Amen. I'm a family man. Praise God. Because my name is Jesus. What's your name, brother? My name's... Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As long as your name's Jesus, your last name's Jesus, we're blood brothers and sisters. Amen. Yes, we are. Because we got that name attached to us. Praise the Lord. Hey, that's something you need to know about the church. Amen. And then the Bible says that we are citizens in heaven. Yeah, I'm an American, but I'm also a citizen of heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through because my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. You see, we're citizens of another place. Hallelujah. Now, I know who I'm going to vote for president. Amen. But if he don't get it, I'm not going to get too upset. Amen. Because I'm a citizen of another world. Amen. I know the economy's in a mess, and it's getting messier every day. Amen. But I'm not going to worry about it too much because I'm a citizen of another world. Amen. You know that election yesterday, a recall election over in Wisconsin. They wanted to get rid of the governor they elected a year or so ago, and they wanted to get rid of him. So at least some did. Not enough. He got reelected. But there's folks real upset. Some are actually, they're making death threats against him. Isn't that awful? I mean, they're all upset. But I'm glad that no matter how things get here, I'm really a citizen over there. That's the citizenship I'm most concerned about. I'm a citizen in heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Philippians 3 and 20 said, for our conversation, that is our lifestyle, our citizenship, is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, we look to Washington, and I'm concerned about what happens in Washington. Because it affects the way the church is going to operate. It affects what's going to happen to us as a local body here. Whether you're going to be able to have services in this building or not. Who we're going to be able to put in our Sunday school classes. Is that right? Yeah? I tell you what, we're facing some spooky things, folks. Amen. If a government can tell you as much as what size Coke you can buy, they can tell you who to teach in your Sunday school class. Hello? Don't you think they can? They can make laws. The only way around that is we just say, well, you know what? You can have this building. Amen. We'll just start meeting in their home. Amen. I'm just saying, we got a plan here. We got a backup. Amen. And there's more. Did you know there's more people that meet in homes than are doing church buildings? That's right. There are more churches in people's houses than there is in church buildings. So it can be done. And I hope to God it doesn't have to be done that way, but it might be. So just keep your mind open tonight. Hello, is that all right? Amen. Just keep your mind open. If we're going to make it through all this. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know it's changing, and it's changing fast. It's coming locomotive. Yeah, them things. Like a locomotive down the train track. Amen. We're in the cave, and all we can see is that bright light coming our direction. Amen. It's headed our way. Praise God. But hey, listen, we're citizens in heaven. Amen. So we don't really have to worry. Is the church going to be persecuted? Yeah, it always has been. It never stopped. We just haven't had as much of it here as they have in other places. But the church has always had persecution. Never been a time when it didn't have. Amen. We've been pretty blessed in our lifetime We haven't had a whole lot of it. Amen. I've been run off with a gun and a knife, but nobody shot or didn't get cut, so I count myself blessed. But I'm a very astute person. I discerned that they didn't want me there, and I left willingly. And if I might say quickly, I was hasty in my departure. Amen. Yeah, we've been down some of that. I've been slung around and hit a few times, but amen. But there's problems. But that's all right. I'm just telling you, we're citizens in heaven. We don't have to worry about that. And lastly, the church is a spiritual temple. We're a spiritual house, the Bible says. The scripture said, and when Peter or Paul was preaching, rather, Paul was preaching, he said, God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. We call this the church building. It's really just a building. We dedicate it as a church. But when we're not here, this is just a building. And when you're on your job, wherever it is, that's where the church is. When young people walk down the halls in the school, that's where the church is. When you're in the market over here at Save-A-Lot or wherever you go, amen, the church is there. Amen. If you're in the hospital, the church is there. If you're in visiting somebody in prison, or even if you got put in prison, the church is there. You're the church. An individual's the church. The local body's the church. The universal body's the church. Amen. So wherever you are, that's where the church is. So wherever you are, Jesus is. And wherever you are, anything He can do is there. His mercy is there. His forgiveness is there. His truth is there. His healing virtue is there. Salvation power is there. Acts 2:38 is there. Remission of sins is there. Wherever the church is, that's where Jesus is. Amen. So we don't need to get too hung up about buildings, folks. Amen. I like buildings. I thank God for building, but this is not what it's all about. It's about you. You're the church. And so the church is a spiritual temple. God doesn't dwell in this building. He dwells in you. Brother Neil, when we come through that door, we bring the Lord in here. And when you get to worship, we say, "Ooh, the Lord's in this place." Well, He is, but because you're here. Amen. You know, and I've said this before, but on deputation, I went to brand new churches that they were just starting. And one of them was in a VFW hall. You know what they do in a VFW hall on Saturday night? They dance and they drink. And when you go in there on Sunday morning early and start throwing away beer bottles, and it stinks and it smells like alcohol, but when people get in there and they start worshiping, singing the songs of Zion, clapping their hands, the Holy Ghost is in the VFW hall. Amen. Praise the Lord. I went to church one time. They were just starting it, and they were having it in a barbecue restaurant. And these people pulled up, thought they were going to get barbecue. Well, they got some besides barbecue. Amen. So we don't have any barbecue today, but we do have some heavenly bread and some new wine. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But wherever the church is and you have church, amen, the Spirit of the Lord joins you there. It's not about the building. Amen. Although there is a building and there's an architect. The architect said, and we read it to you, he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, there are churches that are not the Lord's. You remember the story about the little guy sitting outside the church, head hanging down, sitting on the curb. Jesus walked up to him and said, "What's the problem, sir?" He said, "I tried to go in the church and they wouldn't let me in." He said, "I wasn't good enough for them." The Lord said, "Don't worry about it." He said, "But I've been trying to get in there for years and they won't let me in either." There are some churches even God can't get into. Don't worry about it. But that's not His church, you see. You know, there's one like that in the Bible even. Did you know the church in Laodicea, the Bible said the Lord was on the outside, knocking on the door. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you will open the door and let me in, I will come in and sup with you and you with me." But it was a church, but they wouldn't even let Jesus in. But they claimed to be a church. And there are some of them right here in Athens. They're all over the world. Might even be some of them that are Pentecostal. Yeah. You know, you learn to have church without the Spirit of God. There you can. There you can. It's not good, but you can do it. Now, you can't have Holy Ghost services, but you can have church services. You can learn the do's and the don'ts and how to's and how not to's, and when to say what to say, what not to say. Amen. You can learn how to do all that. You can. And you can function, and it'll look like a church, and it'll have a church on the sign outside, and the polar bear in the pulpit preaching to icicles in the pew, and you know, just having, and they call it church. Amen. But it's not his church. It's not his church. Amen. So he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." 1 Corinthians 3:9 said, "You are God's building." You're God's building. Amen. And then 1 Corinthians 3:11 said, "For other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, which is Christ Jesus." He's the foundation. He is the foundation. And don't lay another one. Here's the thing. This is true. Amen. Sometimes churches are built on personalities. You know, preachers have to be careful, because there are churches that are built on preachers. Let me give an example. Not very far from here, there's a place called Big Sandy. Anybody know where Big Sandy is? You know, they had this huge, beautiful campus over there of a particular church, a denomination. And it was founded by a man. And when that man died, that church fell apart. The whole thing fell apart. Closed the headquarters and just sold it. Went bankrupt because it was based on a man and his revelation. It's happened to a lot of groups. Amen. You can build a church on a human being. But Paul warned against that, didn't he? He said, "And I, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which I have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Paul said, "If I change my mind and I tell you something different than what I already told you, don't you believe me?" Did you know that happened in a church up north that I know about? There was a pastor, and he had a large church, good church. And then there was a movement, they called it the latter rain, that turned out to just be the latter splatter. But anyway, it had a lot of strange doctrines, and he got caught up in that. They had a doctrine they called the dirty bird doctrine. And that is that once you were saved, you could be a dirty bird, and it didn't matter. You know, you go ahead and live like you wanted to because you were already saved. And it was a weird doctrine. Got into the churches. And he got caught up in all that. But you know what that church did? They said, "Pastor, we don't believe this." I said, "You didn't teach us this. You taught us Acts 2:38. You taught us holiness living. You taught us sanctification. You taught us living right. This is not what the Bible says. This is not what you taught us." And so that pastor left that church and went on to some big ministry on the radio. But another pastor came in there. And that church is still one of the largest churches in our organization today. But a man founded on a good foundation. And then he went wacky, but the church stood still. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's when you know it's his church. Amen. That the pastor comes and pastor goes, but the church just lives on. That's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it? And church is just supposed to go on. Amen. It shouldn't be built on a man. It's got to be built on Jesus Christ Himself being the foundation and the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone is the stone that ties everything together in the building. It's what holds it all together. And Jesus is what holds the church together. The Bible says that we are fitly framed. Everybody say fitly framed. Amen. That means that you've been shaped. You ever feel like you've been cut on and beat up? That's because the Lord's doing some chipping. There's some things that don't fit in the church, and He's got to get rid of them. Hello? If you want to fit in this church, He's got to shape you to fit in the church. He's not going to change the church to fit you. He's going to change you to fit the church. We are fitly framed together. Amen. You got to get that joint right. You got to make sure that it's smooth and it fits closely and it's tight and it's secure. Amen. And that's what He does. We're fitly framed together. Everybody say, together. Amen. You try to take one of those bricks out. Brother Wesley, reach over and grab that brick right there, would you? Just yank it on out of the wall there. Yeah, right. You know why you can't get that brick out of there? Now, we got a stack of them over there behind that building, and they're scattered all over the place all the time because they're not framed together. But you get them stuck like that, and you're going to have a big sledgehammer to knock them out. Amen. That's what happens to folks that say, well, you know, I don't really need anybody. I just want to, you know, I just come to church, but I don't really want to be a part, you know, or anything. And so they're like that bunch of bricks out there. They're all individuals. And they can be carried away by anybody at any time. But if you get solid in the wall, just like that right there, you're not going to be moved. No matter what comes and what goes, you're going to be steadfast because you're fitly framed together. You know, you remember that verse in the Bible that talks about being lively stones? You know what a lively stone is? A lively stone is one you can shape. You see, a good mason knows this, but if you take a brick that's good and you can score it and then you can tap it and it'll break even right there. But if it's not good and it's not seasoned, then when you hit it, it's just going to fall apart because it's not a lively stone. It can't be shaped. It can't be made to fit. It just falls apart. Amen. Does that sound familiar? You ever seen anybody have a little trouble and they fall apart? Huh? Don't lift your hand or smile or anything. But it happens, doesn't it? Because they're not lively. But you watch other people and they go through trouble and the Lord just puts a little scratch on there and He pops them and it just falls off. And they just keep right on going. Because they're lively stones. Amen. And so we need to be lively stones because we're fitly framed together. Amen. We need to know that about being in the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. I'm not through, but I'm going to quit. Amen. Thank you so very much tonight for listening to us here. And I'm glad I'm part of the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Joel Hiphill wrote a song. He said, I'm in this church, this glorious church. I didn't join, no, I was born. I've had a new birth. You see, some people say, well, can I join your church? No, you can't. Because you can't join this. You have to be born into it. You have to be born into it. Now, you can join the congregation. You're just as welcome as you can be to join the congregation. You can be here every service we have. But you can't join the church. You're born into the church. Amen. If any man be in Christ, amen, you got to be born into Him. Jesus, remember Nicodemus came to the Lord and he said, he talked about the kingdom of God. And he said, and Jesus told him, he said, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. That's how you get in the body. You got to be born of water and of Spirit. You have to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's a spiritual birth. So it's essential that we have. That's the only way you get in the church. And that's a good thing, isn't it? Amen. You know what I like about that? Is that there's no favoritism. I've lived with favoritism my whole life. How about you? Amen. Everybody's got favorites. It's okay. Shake your head like this. Yeah, you're right, Brother Chris. There's favorites everywhere you go. Amen. Praise the Lord. They're not supposed to be, but there are. Hallelujah. Amen. But there's no favorites with the Lord because you got to be born into this. Amen. Everybody's got to be born. Everybody's got to be born the same way. Praise the Lord. Now, he's the one that adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Everybody said it's a growing church. It's a growing church. This thing hadn't stopped since it started. It's still growing. Matter of fact, it's growing faster today than any time in history because there's more people than there's ever been. And there's more preachers. And there's more churches. And there's more teachers. And there's more witnesses. Amen. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. This thing's not going down. It's going up. Amen. It's not getting weaker. It's getting stronger. Praise the Lord. It's not about to go out. It's burning brighter than it's ever burned. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's thank God for putting us in this body, shall we? Jesus, I thank you for making me a part of the church tonight. Amen. I thank you for being born.